Chapter 23. If Marina was surprised by her new customers, she didn't show it. She and Horst arrived less than an hour after Silky and three soldiers had been sent to fetch them from the Chocolate Heart. By then, the great square in front of the town hall had been cleared to make a space for my family to gather. The rest of the soldiers hadn't left, of course. They were waiting inside the town hall, along with the frustrated battle mages, just in case something went wrong after all. The King and Crown Princess stood outside the front door, beside the Lord Mayor, wearing expressions that looked strained but gracious. Princess Sophia wasn't standing with them. Instead, she stood in the centre of the group of dragons, scowling and waving her arms energetically as she argued with my grandfather about the merits of human scholarship. Who could have guessed that a princess would be interested in dusty old philosophy books? I only wish that my brother was there to take part in the debate. Jasper would have absolutely loved it. As Marina appeared at the furthest street corner, ahead of Horst and Silky, she took in the whole scene with one long look, and then shrugged and marched on towards us, her face expressionless as ever. Horst, Silky and the soldiers were all laden with covered hot plates and carrying heavy-looking packs on their backs that must have held even more. All that Marina carried was one enormous bundle in the shape of a giant presentation pot, wrapped up in towels to preserve the warmth. I knew exactly what must be inside. "Well, girl," she said as I ran over to greet her. Her gaze passed over the huge, magnificently scaled bodies of my family, all the way to the King, Crown Princess and Lord Mayor, who stood with frozen smiles on their faces. "You were this determined to make me cook for royalty, after all." "You came," I said, a grin burst across my face, impossible to repress. "You didn't freeze up this time, I'll have a moment." "Hmm," said Marina. "I've had quite enough of those already, and besides..." Her gaze rested on me, looking strangely enigmatic. "You'd be surprised just how capable I felt of anything after drinking a cup of your hot chocolate." Something in her words and tone made a tickling sensation start up between my shoulders. "Something," but I didn't have time to ask for explanations. The King himself was beckoning to us. "Our chocolatier has arrived," he pitched his voice to carry through the square, and my relative's massive head swung around to follow us as Marina walked steadily past them towards the King, with me at her side and Horst close behind. "Madam Chocolatier, our honoured guests," His Majesty gestured nervously towards my family, "have requested a taste of your famous hot chocolate. They've heard that it's the best in the city, apparently." The Lord Mayor made an unintelligible sputtering noise. His face, I was pleased to see, was nearly purple with frustration. "Of course, we are always delighted to provide for the King's most favoured guest," Horst burled deep weepingly, first to the King, Crown Princess and Lord Mayor, and then to my family and Princess Sophia. His face might have looked significantly tighter than usual, and the whites of his eyes more noticeable, as his gaze took in the gigantic dragons who filled the square. But his businessman smile never faltered. "If we might set up our offerings?" At a word from the King, two of the soldiers hurried inside to retrieve a long wooden table from the town hall. Then all three soldiers helped Horst and Silky empty out the sacks and hot plates, laying everything out in luxuriant profusion. Chocolate creams in tall, curving glasses stood beside chocolate tarts in silver pie dishes. Giant plates had been filled with larger-than-usual chocolate almond conceits, next to even more dishes I'd never seen before, which Marina must have invented while I was away. The unmistakable heavenly smell of chocolate rose from the table to twine through the crisp autumn air, and every dragon head lifted to breathe it in. 10 golden eyes gleamed in reaction, 5 golden gazes fixed with intense interest upon the table. Marina stepped forward at the last, pulling off the thick towels that had protected a 2-foot-high presentation pot in shining silver. She set the massive pot in the centre of the table, smirking at Horst. "You see," she said, "not so stupid of me after all to cart this thing all the way from Villiers." Then she turned to me, dusting off her hands. "Aventurine, would you care to do the honours this time?" "Oh, would I?" Using all of the muscles that I'd built up in her kitchen, I raised the giant heavy pot in both hands and slowly, carefully tipped it to pour the dark, steaming chocolate into the 5 empty bowls that waited nearby. Hissing sounded from all around the square as the smell of hot chocolate floated through the air. I inhaled deeply as I poured, recognising every scent inside it. Vanilla, nutmeg, and oh yes, I thought they might like plenty of chilli in their chocolate, said Marina, just like you do. I gave the first bowl to Grandfather, of course, but I carried Mother her bowl next, and I kept my eyes on hers as I set the bowl on the ground in front of her, my chest tightening. "Just taste it," I told her. "You'll understand." "Please understand," I added silently. I wouldn't demean myself by saying it out loud, but I couldn't move away from her either. I just stood there waiting, leaving the rest of my family unserved. Mother looked down at me for a long moment. I curled my fingers tightly into my palms as I recognised that look. It was the same look she'd given me 100 times before as she'd prepared to find out exactly how far behind I was in all my studies. It was a look that said she hoped to be surprised, but didn't expect it. Then she lowered her massive snout and daintily, carefully stretched her long, forked tongue towards the bowl. No one in the square said a word as her tongue flicked out again and again and again. Then the bowl was suddenly empty and her golden eyes flared wide as she looked back at me with an expression I'd never seen on her face before. "You can make this?" she demanded. "She can," said Marina from just behind me. I hadn't even heard her join me. I'd been so focused on my mother. Marina's voice was steady and calm, though, and her hand landed firmly on my shoulder, grounding me. She's the best apprentice I've ever had. A venture in, said Citrine, but... Her voice cut off as Mother's tail flicked warningly, sending a gust of wind rushing across the square. Quiet, Mother told my older sister for the first time that I could remember. Taste your chocolate. Citrine's eyes narrowed, but when I brought over her bowl of hot chocolate, she drank it, all without a single word. It was one of the most delicious moments of my life, and when I looked across at the younger princess, I could see from her smile that she understood it completely. It didn't take long for my family to devour the entire table full of chocolate treats that Marina had brought from the chocolate hut. Silky made certain that the royals had some too, serving all of them with a flourish. The king ate his chocolate tart with obvious appreciation. The crown princess's eyebrows rose higher and higher as she ate three chocolate almond conceits in a row, and I saw something very near bliss on Princess Sophia's face as she slowly drank her cup of hot chocolate, visibly savouring every sip. The Lord Mayor, of course, claimed that he wasn't hungry, until a meaningful look from the king changed his mind, but the sulky expression on his face at the end, as he used his spoon to scrape up every last nearly invisible speck of chocolate cream from his glass, was even more satisfying than any applause could have been. When Grandfather had emptied his very last bowl, he let out a sigh that billowed warmth across the square and made my brown dress flutter. Well, he looked down at me indulgently, with a thin line of smoke dribbling happily from his snout. Seems to me, Hatchling, that you haven't done so badly for yourself after all. Aunt Emerald said, It will certainly be useful to have someone in the family who can make that for us. Oh, yes, said Aunt Tourmaline, deliciously useful. But I'm not going back with you, I told them. You do understand that, don't you? Grandfather's eyes narrowed. His snout lowered. You may have lost your proper shape due to typical human trickery. His voice deepened into a snarl, and out of the corner of my eye saw the king flinch. But you are still our own hatchling, to be guarded and cherished. Do you expect us to leave you here unprotected among strangers? It's my territory now, I said. And they're not strangers to me. They're not even all that different from dragons. Not really. The king coughed pointedly, stepping forward. As happy as we are that you found comfort in our city, young lady, we wouldn't like, that is, if your family truly desires... No, Mother said abruptly. She shouldn't come back. This time I was the one who flinched. It was only for a moment, of course, then I lifted my chin and put on my fiercest expression, shoving down the pain and reminding myself that this was exactly what I'd wanted. That's fine, I said stiffly. I know I never did what you wanted. Child, Mother said, stretched her long, gleaming blue and golden neck across the square until her great golden eyes were looking directly down at me. Haven't you ever listened to a word I've said? I always wanted you to find your passion. Now that that has finally happened, why would I be cruel and let you pull you away from it? Oh, suddenly my throat felt choked with something that I couldn't understand. You're not angry, I said, my voice small, or disappointed in me again. She shook her massive head, but her gaze never wavered from my face. I've rarely felt so proud of anyone in my life. That was it. My throat closed up entirely. Marina spoke from behind me, looking straight into my mother's gaze as I forced back the sudden moisture from my own eyes. Don't worry, Marina said. We'll take care of her. Did you really think that we'd leave without her protection? Leave her without any protection, Grandfather snorted, a low growl rumbling through his throat. If our hatchling is to be left in this city after all, we'll be keeping a very close eye on it from now on. You will? The king's voice came out as a near squeak, his face paling. Absolutely, Grandfather's tail lashed dangerously. If any enemy army ever thinks of attacking, they'll change their minds before they come within 50 miles of our hatchling, I can promise you that. Oh, the king blinked rapidly. Well, in that case, his lips stretched into a wide, beaming smile. We would be more than happy to enter into an alliance with your family. Indeed, the Crown Princess smiled coolly as she looked across my family's massive armoured bodies. And I think we can safely promise you that your hatchling will be well cared for in her new home, under our royal protection. Silky cleared her throat delicately. Unless the chocolate heart goes out of business, you mean, because of persecution and rumours. So Marina and Horst and Venturin will all have to flee the city. Every dragon head in the square swung round to stare at her. Snarls tore through the air. What are you talking about? Grandfather demanded. Out of business? Persecution? Rumours? No, the king started forward, waving his arms desperately. Ah, no. There's nothing at all to worry about, my very dear friends. After all, why on earth would the chocolate hut go out of business when it famously makes the best hot chocolate in the city? There may have been a few mistakes made in the past, but, he puffed out his chest, from now on it will have my personal patronage, and there is no other chocolate house that can boast for that. In fact, I believe the chocolate hut will soon be the most successful chocolate house in this city, as well as the best. The Lord Mayor let out a muffled groan. The Crown Princess turned to give him a long look. Isn't that right, my Lord Mayor? She asked gently. Don't you want to reassure our new allies too? His shoulders sagged. His chest rose and fell. Even his big floppy hat seemed to sigh. But finally, he gave us all a sickly-looking smile. Of course, he said. The chocolate heart will have all our wholehearted support. Excellent, hissed Mother. And we'll see that for ourselves, of course, as we'll be making regular visits from now on. At that, the king began to tug at his neck knot, looking more than a little green, but a canny gleam lit up the Crown Princess's eyes as she stepped forward and began to talk smoothly about trade agreements and safe passageways. Soon, she and Citrine were involved in a very long and exquisitely courteous debate, while my mother and grandfather listened with sharp attention and my aunts whispered together in a language of their own that no one else had ever managed to understand. And I was left standing at the sidelines with Silky and Marina, watching it all with deep satisfaction. I know exactly what my next handbill is going to say, Silky held out her hands as if to frame it. The chocolate shop that saved the city. Chocolate so good it melted even a dragon's heart. Marina rolled her eyes. More nonsense, she muttered. But then she smiled at both of us indulgently. I hope you're almost ready to go home, she said, because apparently we have a lot of work to do. When we walked back into the kitchen of the Chocolate Heart an hour later, the first thing I saw was the presentation pot of hot chocolate that I'd used earlier that day, still sitting on the counter. I scooped it up, starting for the sink. Hold on, Marina spoke from behind me. Aren't you going to taste it first? There's still a few cupfuls left, worth at least. But it'll be cold by now, I frowned. How can I learn anything from that? Actually, Marina studied me, her expression enigmatic. I think we might all learn quite a lot. You see, I've been thinking, she nodded at Silky. You remember what this one was jabbering on about earlier? I beg your pardon, said Silky, throwing herself down on a chair. I've never jabbered in my life. I often talk at length, of course, but it's always interesting and... About Aventurine's hot chocolate, Marina interrupted. How it made you want this place to succeed when you'd been ready to abandon it before? Oh, that, Silky shrugged and tucked her hands into her pockets. Well, that part's absolutely true. Marina turned back to me. Well, I didn't feel any different after I drank that first hot chocolate, but then I wanted to save this place already. Horst went wild over the taste of your tarts, though, even though they were so burnt that they should have tasted like ash. Looking back, I think probably I should have tried them too, because... She gestured towards the chocolate pot. I drank a cup of that hot chocolate today, she said, and I can tell you I was feeling heartily discouraged before I began to drink. There was a whole bunch of dragons getting ready to burn down the city. We were losing this chocolate house, no matter what, and worst of all, I'd had to use a substandard recipe for a chocolate custard just to make this fellow happy. She jerked her shoulder towards the doorway where Horst stood. said Horst, shaking his head at her. It was not a substandard recipe. I liked it. As I said, Marina crossed her arms. But then I drank that hot chocolate, and within the first two sips, I was feeling more confident than I'd ever have before in my life. And believe me, that is saying something. All of a sudden, I knew I could do anything I put my mind to, even cooking for the king when the summons came. I didn't feel a single moment of nerves. A shiver brushed down the top of my spine. What are you trying to say? What I'm saying, she said steadily, is that I'd be very interested to hear what exactly you were thinking about when you made that particular pot of hot chocolate. I shook my head, feeling dazed, as I tried to remember. It all seemed to have happened a very long time ago. I think I was deciding that I could be whatever I wanted to be, a dragon and a girl, both of them together. Mm-hmm, Marina nodded. I thought it might have been something like that. She scooped a porcelain cup off from the row of hooks on the closest wall and held it out to me. Here, she told me, pour yourself a cup, but I think you'd better drink it outside, just in case. There was a distant buzzing noise in my head as I accepted the large cup from her. Vaguely, I was aware of Silky talking excitedly nearby as I poured myself the hot chocolate. But I couldn't take in anything that she said. I couldn't even think. I didn't want to. I was afraid to let my mind take in Marina's words, afraid to believe. Holding my mind as still and as frozen as a block of ice, I walked through the swinging doors into the main room, balancing the full cup of liquid steady in my hand. I pushed open the front door of the Chocolate Heart and stepped outside into the chilly late afternoon air. For once, our busy street was empty. Maybe everyone was still hiding under a bridge or inside the houses, waiting to find out if they were safe. I was glad that no one else was near to see me. But I didn't let myself think about what might be as I lifted the cup to my lips and took my first sip of the cool, sweet, spicy chocolate. Then I gulped the dress down in one long rush. A burst of flame filled my mouth as the chili exploded against my senses. My eyes closed. A wave of warm, pure certainty flooded through me. My mouth fell open in amazement. This was right. This was me. How could I ever have doubted it? And was this really waiting inside me all along? I tilted my head back and roared with joy as my wings exploded from my side, wide and strong and perfect as ever. Claws shot out from my hands as I erupted outwards, suddenly just as big on the outside as I'd always felt inside. Warmth surrounded me. Power filled me. I flexed my long, sharp claws and opened my eyes to look down on my second family. Horst was staring, open-mouthed, through the glass of the chocolate house window. Silky stood outside beside me, bouncing on her heels and laughing with delight. "Aventurine!" she yelled. "You're massive!" Standing in the open doorway of the chocolate heart, Marina gave me a small, satisfied smile and a nod. "Well?" she said. "And how about the rest? A dragon and a girl? Both at once, remember?" Oh, I'd almost forgotten, but there it was, clear and bright within me. I closed my eyes, focused, and there they were again. When I looked, my small and clever human fingers. I would never manage any proper cooking with dragon claws, after all. Silky grabbed my hand, weeping with delight. 2 weeks ago, I would have pulled away. Now I wrapped my human fingers around hers to hold on tight. Joy filled me as I looked up at Marina and thought of my mother, who was already planning her next visit to the city. I might have a new home, but I hadn't lost my first one after all, because that food mage had passed on more to me than I'd ever intended in the first place. Panic-filled moment of transformation. Now my wings were waiting for me whenever I wanted them. It was almost too much happiness to contain, but I was a dragon and a girl, and I was strong enough for all of it. Horse shook his head and smiled as he stepped outside to join us, wrapping one arm around Marina's shoulders. He raised his free hand to point at all the windows that had been flung open and up and down the street, and at all the neighbours who were staring out at us in silent shock. Somehow, he told us, I'm guessing this is going to be a very interesting week for our chocolate house, and I think it may finally be time to hire more staff.